It is time now that we hear from God, and we continue then on our study in the series in the Gospel according to Matthew. And this morning we will look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. The title of the message: Your Best Life Now. Your Best Life Now. That's what people want to hear. So let us hear about that then. And I'll read from the ESV. It reads as following: Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Original: You cannot serve God and mammon, meaning riches or treasures of this world. The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Church, there is a way that seems to be right in the eyes of men, but it ends in ruins. Its end is destruction. It ends in death. But to those who listen to advices and accept instruction, they gain for themselves wisdom for the future. And throughout this Sermon on the Mount, throughout the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have realized that Jesus Christ is actually correcting religious errors and regulating authentic, genuine, true Christianity. In his teaching, we see that biblical Christianity cannot teach similar to false religion. Righteousness and good heart motives will always separate the believer and the non-believer in their attitude towards religiousness. Before us this morning is the subject which occupies many people's hearts and minds: the subject of money, subject of treasure, subject of wealth, a subject which has caused a decline in the preaching of the gospel in many circles. Today we have the so-called name it and claim it hooligans around us. We are surrounded by such a people. People who have no godly purpose and character. People who are overwhelmed with the love of money and the unity with this world. People who have gone so far that they've perverted and distorted the teachings of Scripture about the true riches which is found in the Lord. They distorted the Scripture on the teachings about finances, just as it was in the days of Jesus with the hypocrites, which Jesus continued to tell us not to be like them. We have seen many times, do not be like the hypocrites. That was Jesus, and it still is Jesus' message to us even this morning. In our days, friends, we have leaders in the church who claim that they are tired of hearing about the treasures in heaven and the streets of gold. What they are saying is, they say they want the treasures now so that they pay their bills right now. And from there, the leaders in the churches, they begin to pile up the rubble of false teaching upon the heads of the people or the pews in the church. They begin to teach people, telling them that they can have their best life now, which is actually based on where it reaches, the best life now, which is outside the love of God or commitment to the gospel. Such a people, you will see, they will not carry their cross. They will not carry their cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning, friends, I want to show you that actually you can have your best life now through heavenly riches. And if you have been with us from the beginning of this sermon on the mount, you will remember that our theme has been to expound the riches that is deposited upon us, to expound the righteousness of those belonging into the kingdom of God. And in our passage this morning, Jesus continues to warn his disciples. He's warning us against the danger of following the teachings and the life of the hypocrites. The danger of having a worldly attitude sugar-coated with religiousness and come to worship the Lord. The danger of desiring treasures of this world just to have your best life now. I have 3 steps that I want to give to you if you will have your best life now. Firstly, lay up your treasures in heaven. Lay up your treasures in heaven. A treasure is a quantity of precious, valuable objects. Objects like gold, objects like silver and diamond. The word treasure is a synonym word of riches, of money. We read in verse 19 to 24, as you look into your Bible, it says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up your treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where no thieves will go in or break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." The question that you should be asking yourself, my friend: what is it that gives me satisfaction in this life? What is it that drives me? What is it that keeps me going? What is it that keeps my heart occupied? Is it godliness or is it worldliness? Where is my love and devotion? Should the earth quake today? What is it that I will wish I should hold dear into my heart and protect like a hen protecting its chick or chicks? Plural. What is it that I hold so dear in my heart? And where is it? Where is it stored? Because friends, there are 2 places where you can store your treasure. 2 places. It is either stored in heaven or it is stored right here below. In this earth of sin. This earth that has its future already predicted. The earth that is coming to an end. Where is my treasure? Jesus gives us 2 reasons why you should not lay up your treasures here below. First, he says, nothing is safe here on earth. You see that in your verses, verse 19 to 21. Nothing is safe here on earth. Moth and rust will destroy whatever is laid down here. Thieves will break in and steal. In other words, friends, every materialistic thing of this world is subject to death and destruction because sin reigns in this world. Darkness covers this world, but there is a land, friends, a land that is pure and bright, where me and you can lay up our treasures there. A land that is so free, where the light is shining so bright, where neither moth nor rust can destroy, where thieves cannot go in and steal. Read with me Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4 and 5. Proverbs 23, verse 4 and 5. Let me read. This is what the word of God says. It says here, "Do not toil to acquire
wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. When your eyes light on it, it is gone. In other words, as soon as you realize you have wealth, wealth is gone. For suddenly, it sprouts wings, flying like an eagle towards heaven. It soon disappears like a vapor in the wind. John 6 verse 27, listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on Him God the Father has set His seal. Friends, the reason why earthly treasures perish is because nothing is safe here below. The second reason that Jesus is giving to us not to lay our treasures here on earth is that there is where your heart will be. Your heart's dedication will be here on earth. You will be distracted by much disappointment, and consequently, your devotion to God will be distracted. Your heart will move from the love of God to the love of the things that are here on earth. But I want you to notice as well. I want you to notice, friends, before you misunderstand what I'm saying. Jesus is not saying we should go through life without planning. So we're going to just go through life blindfolded and not planning, because if we plan, then maybe our plans might distract our devotion to God. That is not what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us. Jesus is not saying we must not make healthy investment in this life for the future of our own children, for the future of our own spouse, for the future of the church as well. That is not what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. The Lord Jesus Christ does not say we should not bank our money or invest in anything of this life without sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned about the motives of your heart. The motives of your heart once that money or treasure is stored up here on earth. Once that treasure is piled up, where would your heart be? He's concerned whether your heart will not follow what you have stored up for yourself. He is concerned whether those treasures will not draw you far and far from God. Will these treasures pull you towards God? Will these treasures open your eyes to see that no one can have anything unless God gives? Will these treasures raise up or bring such a fire into your heart to praise the Lord for what you have and then give to the needy and the poor, storing up your treasures in heaven? Will you not be like Solomon, who could not be wiser than his own heart? Will you be like Abraham, who was so rich, so wealthy, yet he did not cease to be called a friend of God? So of course, friends, Jesus is not saying riches is sinful. That is not what we're saying this morning. It is a matter of the heart. It is possible and it is normal. There is nothing wrong with that, to have rich people who are Christians. The matter is the matter of the heart. We need to seek for the riches that will help us to cling to the old rugged cross, piling up our treasures as a foundation for the future. And the good treasure that can be a good foundation for the future is the Lord Jesus Christ. So the problem, friends, is not the possession of earthly treasures as a Christian, but it is when the earthly treasure or the wealth of this world possesses you. The problem, I repeat, it is not possessing wealth of this world, but once that wealth begins to possess your heart, that's where the problem is. I was listening to Dr. John MacArthur again. He makes a very wonderful point here, a very powerful statement, and I want to read it for you. MacArthur says, and I quote, "What is forbidden is not the riches, but the attitude toward what we have. MacArthur continues to say, the problem is the greediness of the heart. The issue is not what you have, but what are you doing with what you have? End quote. So friends, you need to give your money to God. Give your money to God. How do you give your money to God? Help the needy, help the poor. Offer in the house of the Lord, that there may be food in the house of the Lord, that the house of the Lord may be built up, so that the nations may come and worship God with you, so that one day we may rejoice together in heaven as the children of God. You need to give your treasures to God. God alone can give that phenomenal increase on your treasure, the interest, if you will. Give to God. Do not pile up treasures for yourself. That's what the Bible says. It doesn't say do not pile up treasures. No, friends. Do not pile up treasures for yourself. The problem is the greediness of the heart. You need to be spiritually rich, my friend. You must not sell your soul to earthly happiness. Earthly happiness is temporal, my friend. Be rich in God. Be rich with Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. You must have holiness of character. You must be obedient to God. You must win souls to the glory of the Lord. You must live by faith and not by sight. That is to store up your treasures in heaven. You should not have earthly treasures as your hope for happiness. That is what this is about. Do not have earthly treasures as your hope for happiness. Remember the rich man in Luke chapter 16? Remember that rich man who was wearing purple? Nothing wrong with wearing purple. But here's the problem. He stored up his treasure here on earth, while Lazarus stored up his treasures on high. The rich man thought that his treasure were a symbol of his best life now and a best life forever. How wrong he was. He devoted his time checking on his bank account, checking everything that he could check, as it were, trying to see how far has he moved, progressed in this life, trying to see which one of his neighbors is coming closer to reach his riches, that he may store even more and more for his own good. But he ended up in hell. The treasures didn't send him to hell. It was not the money that sent the rich man to hell. It was his self-centered attitude. It was his unrepented heart. The unrepented heart and the self-centered attitude is what will dig your grave deeper and deeper into the flames of hell. The issue is the heart. We've been dealing with this thing. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? In Acts chapter number 5, their hearts were glued to earthly treasures. They couldn't let go of earthly treasures. And they ended up lying to the Holy Spirit. And then what happened? What happened when they lied to the Holy Spirit? They died on the same day before the congregation of God. God killed them because of the sinfulness of heart. Did the riches kill them? No. Was it wrong for them to have the riches? No. The motive of their heart was wrong. So friends, your future hope must be in heaven. That is the treasure you need to lay up in heaven. Future peace of mind. And that future peace of mind can only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only treasure which without you cannot say, I am rich. The only treasure which when you have, when you possess, you cannot say, friend, I am poor. The Lord Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ your treasure this morning? That is the question I need to pose upon you. Is the Lord Jesus Christ your treasure this morning? Is he the one that you will hold with both of your heart, of your hands? Put him in your arms, as it were. Even when storms come in this life, is he the one that you will hold and roll with him to never let go? Should the earthquake, like I was asking, is the Lord Jesus Christ at the center of your heart? That is the question we need to pose, friends. But secondly, now you know the first step. You need to lay up your treasures in heaven. Secondly,
keep your heart pure. Keep your heart pure. Verse 22 to 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Piling up treasures on earth, friends, can be the apple of your eye. It can be that love of your soul. It can be something that you spend too much time with. And that can lead to impurity of heart, my friend. Remember, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they shall see God. Who? The pure in heart. They will what? They will see God. I could pose a question, but I will not. I could pose a question that says, are you pure in heart? But forget I asked. The pure in heart, they shall see God. Friends, that is the goal of all Christian living. To see God one day. To be surrounded by His glory. To see Him face to face. Is that not your hope, my friend? Because that should be the hope of all Christians, to see God one day. And such a pure heart then, that will lead you to see God one day. It is a pure heart that is characterized by living by the rules of God. Living a life that is pleasing to God. Having a single mind attitude towards God. Devoting your life to God. Having an attitude of the heart that is focused unto the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Only He is the light of the world. He is the only one that can lighten up your life and lighten up your world. Do you have that light of the world in you? Jesus Christ. He alone can transform the heart, my friend. So here, back to our text. The eye speaks there of the heart. Jesus there is using metaphoric language. The eye speaks of the heart. In other words, what we see here, Jesus is saying, what the eye see affects the body. We all know that. I see a beautiful car, I long for a beautiful car. I see something, it affects my thinking, my mind, and my heart. The eye then is a symbol of the heart. So what the heart devotes itself to influences the whole body. So Jesus says then, the eye is the lamp of the body. In other words, the focus of your heart is the direction of your soul. That is where you are going inwardly. The focus of your heart is the direction of your future. So Jesus is saying that you must keep your eye good, my friend. What does that mean? You must guard what you allow to influence your inner man. You need to give Jesus Christ your heart. So that you don't end up wandering around, piling up stuff in this world, treasures of this world that will perish. Piling up things to the point that you dig your own grave to destruction while trying to have a best life now. Give your heart to Jesus. Verse 22 to 23, my friends, it is the truth which is within each and every one of us' soul. It is the truth that we see inside us. This is the reflection of your spiritual condition. The heart is the eye of the soul. The heart is that which receives God's word. The heart is that which receives the truth that end up enlightening your soul, the truth that opens your eyes, that you may know that Jesus Christ is Lord and call upon Him. The heart receives this truth. So, if Jesus Christ says, if the eye is bad, how great is the darkness? What does that mean? If my heart is sick, if my heart is flooded with sin, if my heart is flooded in the context of this with worldly riches, then no light will come into my body. No life will spring forth to me. I will not be like a fountain where each and every soul may drink from, because I'm covered with darkness. When craving for material things and earthly treasures is your life, you become blind and ungodly.
You fail to have your heart in the right place. You fail to see that there is nothing precious than that soul. Nothing treasurable than that soul. Which is why then, friends, the Bible says, what does it benefit a man to gain the world but lose his soul? You need to ask yourself a question. Ask yourself this question. What am I living for? What is it that ignites my heart? What is it that sets me on fire? Is it that which has its end here below? Or is that which has no end at all? Do I even desire God, or do I desire the world? Is the life of God the life which my heart is pumping throughout my body, since the heart is the organ that pumps blood? I'm using metaphoric language now. Is the life of God exactly what my heart is pumping throughout my entire body, that I may live the life for God? Is that what is happening with me? Of course, God does not say it is sin for me to have money. God does not say I must not own a boat. God does not say that. But is that boat not owning me right now? That is the question. Am I willing to lose the boat if it comes between me and the Lord? Am I willing to lose this boat if it causes darkness in me while I'm claiming to be the one walking in the light? Because if I claim to be the one walking in the light while walking in darkness, how great is the darkness in me? Verse 23 speaks of darkness, as you have realized that. But I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul again. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Listen carefully. But godliness with contentment is great gain or great riches. Godliness with contentment is great gain. In other words, godliness is what will light up your body. And then you see, friends, the absolute necessity of salvation. Because outside regeneration, you will not have this light. Outside regeneration, you will only be full of darkness. In other words, friends, when I have been enlightened, but I still live in sin, how great have I fooled myself? In other words, I am worse than the man who lives in darkness and recognizes his darkness. I am telling myself a lie and I believe my own lie. That's terrible, believing your own lie. You cannot claim to be light and continue in darkness. The warning here, friends, is that you should not accumulate treasures that will not help you live a godly life. Treasures that will only defile your soul. I'm going to quote again. Psalm 139, verse 23, you may write down. Listen to the word of God, so that we may see that the issue of the heart is the most important issue as a Christian. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Scrutinize. Search me. Put everything side by side. Everything one on one. Check. Check my heart. Show me where I go wrong. Search my heart, O God. So the idea here, friends, is that you may live by God's rules. The eye also speaks of a clear vision. Eye speaks of a clear vision. So the question is, friends, do you have a clear vision? What is it that comes before you as soon as you close your eyes and go into sleep, as it were? What is it that wakes you up during the night? Because, friends, if it is something of this world, then I don't have the best life now. And I will not have the best life even beyond the grave. And my darkness is greater than I thought. The eye also speaks of a gaze. Whether you have a spiritual gaze or you have a worldly gaze. This questions your motives, my friend. It questions your inner man. It questions the deep desire of your heart. This tells you that you need to fix your eye unto God. You need to have your heart looking unto the heavens as it were. You cannot have Jesus in 1 minute and then the next minute you're holding the devil closer to your heart.
You need to have clear gaze, one vision, one focus. In other words, you need to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will follow. And that is when you'll be called successful, because your success will be measured by your godliness, not with what you have in the bank. Because you will not take what is in the bank to stand before God with. But your godliness, you will be asked, what did you do? I gave you a life. How did you live this life? Did you live this life for the glory of God, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith? Or did you lose your life for your own glory, self-glory, and then drag yourself down to ruins, to the pit of hell? You will be asked, what will be your answer, friend? I speak of the heart. So Jesus says you must have a pure heart. Remember in John chapter number 9, the Lord Jesus Christ is walking by, and the Bible tells us that there was a man who was born blind. And we know that is a metaphorical, actually a picture of speaking to us of our own spiritual darkness, our own human depravity. The Bible says as he was walking, there was a man who was born blind. What did he do? He opened his eyes. What does that tell us? It speaks of your spiritual heart being opened by Jesus alone. Only Jesus can open your spiritual heart. Your spiritual life can come alive only once the Lord Jesus Christ touch you. He touched his eyes. He spat on the ground and rubbed on his eyes. On his eyes. He told him to go wash his eyes in the pool of Shalom. His eyes spoke of you and I's hearts. Jesus opened his eyes. Later on in the same chapter, Jesus finds two leaders, the Pharisees, who had their eyes opened and looking at him. He said they were blind, but they were looking at him. Their eyes spoke of spiritual blindness. You need to have your eyes opened. You must have a pure heart. In that, you will have your best life now. Thirdly, you need to serve only one master. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money, or God and mammon, worldly riches. Friends, you cannot have God wrestling or competing with the devil within your heart. You cannot have that to happen within your heart. You cannot allow yourself to be controlled by worldly riches. You cannot have God as a thin veneer or a topping of your own cake, the life that you want to live in this world. Live that worldly life, but quote scriptures to justify your life. You cannot have that. He is God. He is holy, holy, holy. No one can approach him in sin. Woe is me if I try to approach God in sin. In other words, your commitment cannot be on both God and the world. You cannot have God in one hand and the devil in the other hand. You cannot have any other God. You can only have one God, Yahweh. In other words, there is no possibility to hold God and the world at once. You need to decide. You need to make a choice. What is your choice, my friend? You can't have God and money. That will be idolatry. That will be breaking the first commandment. That will be to put your trust in a God of your own imagination, not the God of Scripture. It will be really foolish for anyone to put his trust and life in the God of his own imagination, but hoping that he has the best life now. How can you put
your life in a God that you created yourself, but hope that you can have a best life now. What you see before us, friends, is that you need to serve. I think that is important for me to mention. You need to serve, but you must serve only one master. In other words, each and every one of us this morning is a servant, is a slave. The question is, whose slave are you? Who is your master? Because, friends, you cannot have two masters. You cannot be a double-minded person. Because a double-minded person achieves nothing according to the book of James. A double-minded person will not have the true best life now. A double-minded person trusts in a God of his own imagination. A double-minded person thinks there is a middle ground with God. Friends, there is no middle ground with God. It's either you serve God or you don't serve God at all. A double-minded person is a lost man who thinks that he has everything covered, but he doesn't have everything covered. He thinks he can serve both God and money. Then he piles up stuff in this world. You have one heart. You can only devote that one heart to one master. You cannot have your heart lifted up unto heaven as it were. Why? Part of your heart still stuck in the things of this world. The two masters before us speaks of two kingdoms, which is actually also the theme of the Sermon on the Mount. We are the children of the kingdom. There is another kingdom. This speaks of two kingdoms. Two kingdoms that will always stand before us, my friend. The kingdom of light and righteousness, the kingdom of truth, and the kingdom of lies, deception, and wickedness. They will always stand before us, the narrow way which leads to life, and the broad way that leads to destruction. And Jesus is giving us a choice here. You can either serve God or Mammon. You cannot serve both. You cannot have God and your own self-glory in this world. You cannot have one foot in heaven, another foot in hell. You cannot have one hand on ice and one hand on fire. That is impossible. Unless you've been watching one of those Chinese movies. Those guys can have whole fire and ice same time. No. That is just a movie. Friction. Here's the danger, friend, of being a double-minded man. A danger of thinking you can serve God and wear the treasures. Remember Demas? We spoke about Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10. The Bible tells us he walked with the Apostle Paul. He preached the gospel, but he ended up in the world. Why? He was trying to serve two masters. He tried to serve Jesus and the devil. He tried to hold on Jesus and holding on the devil on the other hand. He sang the song that we were singing this morning. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom come, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? But the problem is, he was singing for others, not for himself. The word of God did not touch him. He heard the word for others. He's one of those people who will go out and say, "Batshele mfundisi," meaning tell them, pastor. Listening to the message for someone else. It was Demas sitting in the church, sitting with the Apostle Paul. He ended up in the world. There is no Batshele mfundisi. I'm talking to each and every one of us. The word spoke to me before I speak to you. I had to preach to myself. I'm not here to talk to you. I'm talking to myself. We must serve God, one master, together. You need to love one person. You need to devote your life to one person. Because you will sin against the other while trying to please the other. You love the other while you're hating the other. Let me bring it into worldly terms. That's why you cannot have two partners. It doesn't work that way. One partner, one love. You can't be married to two wives or two husbands. I'm just talking outside the box now. But here it speaks of having God and God alone. You cannot be devoted in two places. That is the message here.
because you will sin against the other, and then you will try to please the other. You cannot hold sin in one hand and hold obedience to God on the other hand, because the two are in total opposition to one another. They are two masters, friends. Two masters who will always stand on two opposite ends. Two masters with two purposes and two plans. Which one are you going to serve? Because if you claim to be brought out of darkness, if you are the one who's claiming that you have been snatched from the garbage of sin, you cannot have God and the devil. You can only be a bond servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless you are misguided in your mind, then you will choose a master that will misguide you and lead you into ruins. Here's a simple test, my friend. You need to ask yourself a question to see what you value. Ask yourself a question to see which God do you serve. Ask yourself, where do I devote most of my time, my money? Where? What is it that steals my time? Then you will know where your heart is. It is very important to have your mind made up, my friend. You cannot serve God and money. Question is, what is it that you treasure? Which treasure box do you open and check its status each and every day, as it were? What is it that drives you to even come to the church? Did you hear somebody say, come to Jesus, you will be rich? Or did you hear somebody say, come to Jesus, you will be having heavenly riches? For Christ will dwell in you and will be a rich man. One day you will die and you will be raised from the dead and reach God one day. Is that what brought you? Or is there something else that you're expecting? That's the question. Because no one can claim God as a master while his legions is somewhere else. His devotion is somewhere else. You cannot serve two masters, because every master demands loyalty and commitment. In the same way, God will demand your loyalty. God will demand your sacrifice. You will have to sacrifice your time, your everything unto him. Are you ready? Choose this day whom you will serve. You will serve either the gods of your fathers, served in the region beyond the rivers, remember the words of Joshua, or you will serve the God of heaven, or you will serve the God of the Amorites, in whose land you live in. Are we going to be influenced by the surrounding, or are we going to influence the surrounding? That's the question. You cannot follow a master, my friends, who demands righteousness, while you are following another master who demands and delights in sin and deception. You need to catch a right train home, or you will not make it home, my friend. You need to have a heart dedicated to God, not a heart dedicated to gold. Heart for God, not a heart for gold. If you have your heart to God, everything else will follow. Because one day, if you dedicate your heart to God and gold, one day you will lose both God and the gold. One day you will find yourself in a place where you will have to answer God without the gold. Your gold can only fool me and buy my loyalty. You cannot buy God. Who will be your master? Where is your treasure? Is your treasure where God is? Do you possess light? Do you possess darkness? Have you valued things so much of this world that you have forgotten that soon and very soon you will be taken out of this world? You will face eternity without what you have. Have you prepared so much for this life and forgotten to prepare for the life to come? Do you have your future plan so orchestrated, so perfectly, that you have forgotten to buy your ticket unto heaven, as it were, through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you treasure? What is it that drives you? Which God do you serve? Is his name Jesus or his name Mammon? Is his name Jesus or is his name Satan? Ask yourself, friends. Have I not placed too much value to the things of this world to the point that he has stolen my devotion and my dedication to the Lord? Ask yourself, because if that is me, I'm setting myself up for a failure. One day I will wake up and everything will be gone. But if you have your life in the Lord Jesus Christ, one day you will die and you wake up, everything will be added. Remember Revelation chapter 14 we read a couple of years ago. It says, your works will follow you. Your works, your good works will follow you. You will be rewarded in heaven for your good works. Let me close like this, my friends. Remember Solomon, King Solomon, a rich man. But the very same rich man says, in one of his writings, at the end of the day, it is vanity of vanity. Remember Judas Iscariot, the man who sold the Lord Jesus Christ for a few pennies? He didn't take that with him to heaven. The money did not quench his guilt of killing the Son of God. Money will not cleanse you from sin. Money will not give you a good future before God. But on the positive note, remember that poor lady in the book of Luke, a lady that the Lord Jesus Christ says, when they were offering, she just threw her last coin. Why did she throw her last coin? Because she piled up her treasure in heaven, not in this world. I'm not saying bring your last penny so that you don't have food for you and your children. But it's the issue of the heart. Where is your heart? What is it that is driving you, my friend? Rather have God at the center of your heart. Because money, because the love of money has caused many people to perish. The love of money has turned most humble people of society to ruthless wolves. It has turned those who were respected in society to arrogant people of society. Money has turned obedient children and respectful wives into the most cruel people in the home. Money has turned husbands from loving husbands to murderers. I'm correcting myself again. Not money, the love of money. I need to say it right. The love of money is the problem. The love of money is the root of evil. Is it not because of money that parents sell their babies these days? Is it not because of money that there is crime in this world? Has the money of this world or the love of money in this world not turned the most beautiful marriages into war zone? You tell me. But again, money is not the problem. The love of money is the problem. It is that root of evil. But if you want to have your best life now, lay up your treasures in heaven. Have a pure heart. Serve God. Do not be like the hypocrites of these days. The Lord bless you as you think of these things. Amen. Let's pray together.